I appreciate you guys being here, and we haven't met over the summer. I was thinking when Bill said that, William's testimony was awesome. And if I recall, it was like the month before COVID hit. So William's testimony is so good that he created a pandemic, so we're not going to have him back for a while. But anyway, we appreciate you guys being here. We are grateful for the church and all it's done for us. I'm not going to take a lot of time to introduce Neil. Well, most of you know him or know of him. Neil is a huge LSU fan. I want to tell you that so that if you have a chance to speak to him one-on-one afterwards, you speak slowly. You know, don't get too far out in front of that. It reminds me of the greatest battle in college football is the battle between Ed Orgeron and the guy who has to type in the post-game press conference stuff in the computer. So it reminded me of that when I thought of it. Trey, you're speaking next month, aren't you? So we have next month's speaker here as well, and so we appreciate you guys being here. Neil's been pastor here for 20 years. Are we celebrating this year?
We celebrated back in May. Where were you?
I don't know. I was home watching it on TV, I guess. Anyway, pastor here for 20 years. He has a fantastic wife. He has three great daughters. He has a slew of great grandkids, all of which he's going to tell you about. He's my pastor. He's my friend. He's my brother in Christ. He has done, as with Dave and William and everybody else, an unbelievable job leading this church in the last 18 months. You can only fathom, if you're not inside the tree, how difficult in a pandemic world it is to make things keep working and keep going. And Neil's done an amazing job of that. But he did something in 2019 that was pretty cool. And with no further ado, I'm going to let him tell you about that. This is my friend Neil Tomba.
Thank you. Why don't you guys just play the intro video that gives you guys a little look at this journey I took from Santa Monica, California to Annapolis, Maryland to ride my bike across the country to have conversations with people about faith, things that matter, and Jesus himself.
I had a dream 18 years ago of riding across the country, just wanting to document people's stories, to be curious about people's lives, to engage them in conversations that really matter. And then I'm looking at this team of folks and seeing this thing has become so much bigger than Neil Tomba's little dream. Today we start getting to ride bikes and talk to people and to really do it in a way that people are convinced that Jesus cares about their story.
It's hard to trust.
Do y'all ever think about spiritual things or have anybody in your life that you talk to about spiritual things?
Like I said, I'm an atheist.
I'm Buddhist.
Shockingly, I don't look like the average Muslim, but I am Muslim.
When we assured people that we were here to listen to their story and to be kind to them, they were so kind to us.
When you say thank you say Dawaiyah.
Dawaiyah.
There's something really sweet about riding together like this right now and feeling like you're part of a team and not riding alone.
I just beat a semi-pro to the city limit sign. Did y'all see that? Ride a painted pony.
Oh, jeez.
When I think about riding up this hill, I can show up tomorrow. I can pedal one more stroke. The grind up is not the end of the story. To be able to look from the top and say, wow.
When you're doing life together, you go slower.
Can we just be mad and not apologize?
Nope.
But here's what I do believe. You go slower, but you go farther.
And you're doing awesome.
Thank you, Gilbert.
Go the extra half mile. You only go around once in life.
A whale feeding in the morning, getting his breakfast. You ready? I'm full now.
Y'all, what a privilege to be here with you guys. And I will tell you, that was just
the coolest thing to get to ride my bike from one end of the country to another, just having conversations. And you saw just many different people that we got to talk to along the way. Now, how many grandfathers we have here? I'm just curious. We got some grandfathers here. So I was in this little bike accident this past weekend, and I had to go get my bike repaired. My bill was $400. The actual repair was only $33 because they cut me a deal. I made the mistake of bringing my granddaughter, who's like growing 6 inches every week, to the bike shop, and the other $370 was me buying her a bike, and then the person there who was my friend helping us got me to buy a helmet and a bell and some other stuff. So it cost me $370, but I love being a grandfather. I love being a father. And I know part of our time here is to talk about that, and I want to talk about that in the context of this whole bike ride that I took. So I had this dream of 18 years of riding my bike across the country, just having conversations with people. And I had told my wife for years, I said, hey, you can just follow me in our car. It'll be great. And I'll ride my bike. And she's like, you're weird. I don't want to do that. Well, she did end up going with us on the trip. And she said, hey, it was like riding through school zones all the way across the country. So she's still going through recovery for that. But we're doing okay. And, you know, some people ask me, why did it take you 18 years to do this thing? And why now? So I'll say, why now? So I was looking at our country even before all the stuff of the last 18 months hit. And I realized that, you know, people are afraid to talk to anybody about anything. Anything that really matters. And I'm like, I want to go out there and have conversations. And the thing is, I ride this bike around White Rock Lake all the time. And I get in these conversations with people. I will tell you, men, I have men who I meet when I'm at White Rock Lake and just asking them questions about their family, praying with them. I have guys, first time I've met them, they are weeping on their bike as we're talking because they just don't have time, opportunities where somebody's willing to take a risk with them and talk about things that matter. And then our church, here's what was fascinating at our church. We did this survey, and it was kind of I'm going to call it a confessional moment, where we did the survey not to find out if people like the preaching or not, because we know they like the preaching. David, can I have an amen since you go to church here? Can you say that a little louder? Okay, we'll work on that for next time. Okay. And we find it wasn't, as a matter of fact. But here's what we found out. 90% of the people in our body, men and women, had been believers 10 years or more. And 90% of those people who said they were believers didn't talk to anybody about Jesus on any kind of regular basis. You know, Barna did a study, guys. One in eight believers have one faith conversation a week on average. One in eight. The other seven don't have any. And I just want to say to us men, fathers, grandfathers, husbands, I hope that anything we talk about here, we really are thinking first and foremost with our kids and our grandkids and our wives. I mean, let's just think here for a moment. When's the last real faith conversation you had with somebody in your home? So anyway, I go on this trip, and y'all, I did have a passion to have conversations about Jesus, because when I was at the Harvard of the South, Mike, did you hear me? Okay.
I was looking up something about
when I was at the Harvard of the South, LSU, electrical engineering student. Thank you, WT. Appreciate it. I can't get no respect here. I was really, really far from God, and there was a guy down the hall from me, Greg, who was a mechanical engineering student, and he wasn't afraid to have conversations with people about Jesus. Even the president of the dorm, who was the president because he threw the best parties. And he has a conversation about Jesus with me. I come to know Jesus in the middle of that. I joined this organization called Crew. For us old guys here, it was once called Campus Crusade for Christ. And I learned, you know, hey, this is something we do as believers. And here's what I learned in Crew. You got to be bold if you want to have conversations about Jesus. You got to be bold, right? And so next thing you know, I'm at Daytona Beach. I'm a brand new believer. I'm at Daytona Beach to go have conversations with people about Jesus. I'm scared to death. Of course, I didn't tell anybody that because I was with this really pretty gal. I got hooked up with, that's not really good language to use these days. I got put with who she was from West Virginia University. And anyway, so we're going around and I'm just being bold. And I see this guy playing Frisbee on the beach over here, all muscles. I go up to him and I say, excuse me, have you made the wonderful discovery of knowing Jesus Christ personally? And he looked at me, goes, no, and I don't want to talk to you. And so I walk off with my tail between my legs, and I was like, oh, wait, the one thing you got to know about having conversations about Jesus is to be bold. So I go back to him. I say, hey, you know, the Bible says why you don't want to have a conversation with me. And the guy looked at me, and you could tell he was deciding, am I going to kill him or ask why? And he said, why? I said, well, the Bible says men love the darkness rather than light. And we actually had a conversation. And I'm still alive here today to tell you. Now, I want you to know 99.99% of the people at our church are never going to do that. And I hope that 99.99% of us here are never going to do that, because really that's just more of what's going on in our culture today, where we're just beating each other up, attacking, and getting into a conflict. So I want to say just two keys about conversations about Jesus that I took from this trip. And I'm even going to show you on a slide here, because they're so simple. They are so simple. Take Jesus seriously and take people seriously. You know, a lot of times when people come and have a little deal like this, when they're talking about having conversations about Jesus, immediately you start hearing about 2 points or 3 points or something you got to get through, and those are all helpful. But I'm just talking about the starting point to start conversations, okay? Guys, 1 Peter 3:15, I want to put it up here because it's really all built around this. And can we read this together? Honor Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that's in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. I want you to hear this, guys, the best thing you can do for your wife that Neil Tomba can do for his wife. The best thing you can do for your kids, the best thing you can do for your grandkids, the best thing you can do for anybody that you're going to have a conversation with is you just start right here and you honor Christ as Lord in your heart. And I believe most of you guys are here where you see this outline, it's so simple, Neil, I already knew that. Take Jesus seriously, but I want to double click on it just a little bit, okay? You know that word honor? Some of your Bibles say sanctify. It's about making something the most important thing in your life, okay? Mike obviously has some problems because he's got to cut down LSU. I guess he's got some really important football team in his life. Obviously has some problems. But all of us have something that we make really important. It's the thing we do what? We spend time on. We spend our money on it. We use energy with it. So I'll tell you a little bit about this bike, you guys. Do I have any cyclists here? Any cyclists here? We got one over here and a couple over here. So, you know, I got a great deal on this bike, by the way. Because every cyclist says about their bike they paid too much money for, they got a great deal on it. That's the first thing you tell your wife. Anyway, so this bike is actually a custom bike. There's only 12 or 13 of these in the whole world painted this way. This is Allied Bike Works. This bike was made by a company in Arkansas, and our team approached them. I'm on a cycling team called the Rock Riders. And full disclosure, I'm the old mascot who gets dropped all the time and left somewhere in the country by myself. Last couple weekends riding 30 miles by myself because I couldn't keep up, okay? So it was very interesting listening to the 12-year-old men, 30, 40, and 50-year-old guys talk about our bikes. when we were getting these bikes. Okay, what kind of, how are we going to paint these? Is it going to be blue, black, or a blue-black fade like we got? And what kind of wheels are we going to put on our bikes? Are we going to get custom wheels built, which we did? Or are we going to get off-the-shelf wheels? Are we going to get rim brakes or disc brakes, which this has? And what kind of drivetrain are we going to use, Shimano or SRAM? And it was fascinating to hear all these men who are riding a kid's toy dressed in a onesie, all these men, how fluent we are about talking about bikes. And they can talk for hours. I got one friend, he goes to church here, so I can't say his name. Y'all, I always have to say, okay, I've got to go now, because he will talk to me forever. And I want to say this to you guys. Guys, I really believe this is so true. Here's the first thing. We honor Christ as Lord in our hearts. We spend enough time with him. We spend enough energy on his kingdom business. We spend enough money on it. We are interacting with each other enough on it that you can become fluent in talking about Jesus. Do we believe that, guys?
Yes.
We can become fluent in talking about Jesus before anybody gives you a plan to share a specific gospel presentation. You can become fluent in talking about Jesus. You know, it says in that verse, if we go back to the verse there, give an account for the hope that's in you. Okay, it's a crazy time. Mike mentioned it's really been a crazy time for pastors and for everybody else. And people are just freaking out about everything. It's interesting, just some conversations I've had in the last 7 days with people. And I just think it's really amazing, as I think about all the people in our church, if they just can go out and say very specifically, here's why I have hope in the midst of this insane time. Here's why Jesus gives me hope in the midst of this insane time. Before any kind of learned presentation you're talking about, because when he says to give an account for the hope that's in you, that word defense there is the word apologetics. It's not apologetics that you study reasons why the Bible is reliable, and it is, or reasons why you believe in the resurrection, which did happen. It's first and foremost the apologetic of your heart, because you've said, you know what, I have hope in this time because of Jesus. And I've actually can say specific things about it. In the same way, y'all, it comes out of that spending time, right? I spent 30 days on this bike, thousands of miles, lots of hours, and I can actually really tell you some things about why this was worth the ridiculous amount of money that was spent on this bike. You guys are going to cut me off when you got to cut me off. So I want to just show you a picture of Amanda and Keegan. This is in Lexington, and we were in lunch and we come out and all these people started lining up to talk to us. It was crazy. They just saw this guy with a camera because I went to document all of this. And Amanda and Keegan were there, and I had just got done talking to somebody. I was like, come on, y'all. Okay, enough conversations. We got to go. And my wife says, oh, Neil, you need to talk to Amanda and Keegan. They've been waiting 45 minutes. I said, Vila, they've already talked to you. Why do they need to talk to me? She looks at me and said, Neil, you're going to talk to them. Go talk to her right now. I said, yes, ma'am. So I go talk to Amanda and Keegan. Fascinating. Amanda cracks open her life. She said, I'm struggling because of my mother's suicide in our home. Y'all would have been fascinated. How many people talked to us about a story like that? Five people told me about sons dying in car accidents. Total strangers. So Amanda, we talk about that. I ask her, hey, Amanda, what's your hope? And she begins to she's just processing. I'm just asking questions, and you can see I'm not even sure where she's going, but she's just processing because I'm giving her an opportunity. She says, you know, I feel like I'm disconnected from God. And then she says, I feel like I'm disconnected from my art. So she's just processing. And then she goes, and I feel like God gave me that. So all this gets her thinking. I said, before I left, I said, Amanda, I got an idea. I've got this little Bible. It's called a journaling Bible. Y'all, a journaling Bible is, it's got text on one page and a blank page on the next. So you can just take notes or draw a picture. I said, Amanda, you could draw a picture in there if you wanted to. You read the story of Jesus. I'm walking away. I said, man, I have an idea. After you draw your first picture, will you send it to me? I'm home 4 weeks, and I get this picture through an email from Amanda. You know what that means? I don't know. She didn't tell me. She just sent me the picture. Here's the point. That conversation she was thinking about. You know, so often we wonder, does it matter? Does it matter I have a conversation? Just that little interaction. And because one of the things I want to say to people is I feel like we think way down the road, I got to get somebody to say yes or no to the claims of Jesus. And because of that, we never actually get on the bike and start and just start a conversation, right? And I'm just here to say it's worth starting the conversation. It was for Amanda that day, right? So just this idea of taking Jesus seriously, that we honor him, we get fluent, but also we've thought through, why do I have hope? Me personally, in my life today. Let me say a couple words about taking people seriously, the other side of that coin. You know, it's so interesting to me that he says, you sanctify Christ the Lord in your heart, being ready to give an account for this hope within you, yet with what? Gentleness and reverence, and you know, or respect. And you know, it's so fascinating. I think he anticipated the Neil Tombas of the world going out and telling everybody, let me tell you what I did on the beach at Daytona Beach. I got in this guy's face. I was 140 pounds soaking wet at that time. I wasn't afraid of him. And that's, you can do that too. And I think he, you know, says that to protect us from that, yet with gentleness and respect. Y'all, the word gentleness, let's say, men, let's be clear. That word is not about weakness. That word is not about not having power. That word is not about having an agenda. Who was gentle? Jesus himself, the Son of God, the Son of Man, the one who's seated at the right hand before the Father right now, the one who has all power, authority, rule, a dominion that one day we're going to be singing, worthy is the Lamb, all nations, tribes. He was not powerless. He came with an agenda. What was Jesus' agenda? Let me put it this way from the book of Hebrews, to bring many sons to glory. And he took that power and he harnessed it under the submission of the Father to do that. And so I'll show you a picture of Tamika. This is a good one, y'all. That's Tamika. So we're in Virginia. Her house is about 50 feet off the road. And everybody's kind of in front of me. I say, y'all, I'm going to go have a conversation. I turn around, and here comes to Tamika's house this mammal. Y'all know what a mammal is? A middle-aged man in Lycra. I come up to Tamika. Her eyes are about this big because I look very different than her. And she had all these papers. And you could see she was scared. And I said, hi, my name's Neil, going out being curious, kind, and respectful to have conversations with people. Would you like to talk? She goes, I don't have time. And I wanted to kind of push in and be really bold, and I thought, no, let's just ease off here. I took a step back, and I said, Tamika, I will totally respect that. Any chance you'd have 7 minutes? She says, okay. So we sit down on her front porch, she picks up her papers, and she's got these yappy dogs, y'all. I'm telling you, there's the gentleness right there holding that dog. And I tried to just, Tamika was really flat as she talked to me, and I was just trying to mirror her, and I was thinking my camera guy is going to really not be happy with this because it's kind of boring. And then Tamika says to me, I was shuffling through these papers because I got to find a paper because I'm trying to get a new job because I'm an MSW and I worked with special needs kids and my boss treated me really poorly and it was like she's ramping up. And I just stopped and I just observed. I wasn't making any judgment. I just said, man, Tamika, I'm feeling some heat now because I was kind of excited I was. And she goes, well, how would you feel if you had been treated in a racist way like that by your boss? And she had told me about her boss, and I just, for me, in that moment, in that day, I just looked at her and I said, Tamika, I am sorry that someone who looks like me treated you in that way. Will you forgive me? And Tamika totally changed. She looked at me and she said, yes. And then Tamika said these magic words that we heard over and over again. Do you have time for one more story? She only had 7 minutes. We're about 15 minutes in now. And when people were convinced that we were serious about listening to their story, that we were going to be kind, curious, and respectful, we heard this over and over again. Can I tell you one more story? We talked about, she started telling me about an experience she had at a church, and we processed that. We prayed together. She said, if I ever come to Dallas, I'm going to come to your church. Gentleness, right? That's part of taking people seriously. And then the other word is that word, Sean quoted it, gentleness and respect. It's the word, actually, a lot of times in your Bible, we translate as fear. And, you know, you think about, we approach the throne of God with fear and trembling, this fear of walking on holy ground. And I want to just remind us, including, and I'm reminding myself this right now, because I'm being convicted even as I say this. Every person you have a conversation with, every person in this room you've had a conversation with today, your children, your wives, everybody what? Has a story. Everybody has a hurt that nobody knows about. Everybody here has hurts nobody knows about that affects how we're dealing with each other. And that we're called to treat people with respect. I want to tell you about Jeffrey. And then I'll shut up and you guys can ask some questions. Show Jeffrey, guys. Great job, William. I'm chewing on some food there, y'all. I didn't lose half my teeth. That's funny. I've never noticed that before. We're going to have to doctor that up. I had never had an opportunity to actually be on Native American land and talk to Native Americans actually on their land. And they were generally suspicious when I came in. Got to talk to several of them. And I really learned that some were willing to share with me their language, some were willing to talk about their faith, some weren't. I saw Jeffrey working on his car. We had taken a wrong turn. We were in this desert area in New Mexico. I go up to Jeffrey, can we talk? He says, I don't have time. I'm working on my car. He goes, but you can use that shade tree to fill up your water bottles and eat. And my friend Wes, who was riding with me, said, did he say no to a conversation? I said, yes, but I don't think it's the end of it. 3 minutes later, Jeffrey comes with his cell phone, and he's holding it out like this. And he says, over across the train tracks, my grandfather had a hotel, because right there was a train station. He starts showing me pictures, telling me about his family, his heritage. We start talking about his faith. Unbelievable conversation. And next thing you know, people are like, oh, we... Some of the ladies with us needed to go use the restroom. So the next thing you know, people are going into his house using his restroom. I'm thinking, oh my gosh. His girlfriend comes out with fresh-made tortillas that we're eating. And then Jeffrey comes out with that piece of handmade Laguna was his tribe pottery. Jeffrey says, Neil, this is for you. I didn't know what to say. And you saw in the video, I said, Jeffrey, how do you say thank you in Laguna? And he says, you say, Dawaye. So I said, Dawaye, why'd you give us this? He said, because you listened to my story. And y'all, if you get one of those books and you buy, you know, two boxes for all your friends for Christmas, that'll be great. You'll learn more about that story in the book. But you listened to my story. And Jeffrey, who said he didn't have time, also said, hey, do you have time for one more story? And y'all, we had a great faith conversation. But it was really this idea coming out of respect. And I want you to know these two things, taking Jesus seriously, taking people seriously, two keys that got me a lot farther in a whole lot of conversations than just being bold would have ever got me. Amen. I'll just stop.